This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Bit of Naomi Judd and her daughter Winona. Of course, we are saluting Naomi Judd with this song, Why Not Me, on the sad passing of Naomi Judd just one day before receiving this honor at the Country Music Hall of Fame in Nashville, Tennessee. Very, very sad. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and my partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us. It is Monday, May the 2nd. Wow. Hope you had a good weekend. We have a lot going on this morning. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Jessica Malugan of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And we're going to discuss the purchase of Twitter by Elon Musk and all its ramifications. Boy, oh boy, has that really... Talk about a Twitter storm, right? Has that ever dusted up the internet? So stay tuned for that. And the Republican governor of Arkansas goes after Florida Governor Ron DeSantis for going after Disney. We're going to get some thoughts on who holds the upper ground on this whole issue, as well as a few other things from the master barber himself, Andrew Ceresi, and possibly his brother, Angelo. So stay tuned for that a little bit later in the show. And is Vladimir Putin dying from cancer? There is a rumor that he is going under the knife, and we're going to take a look. So stay tuned for that as well. And Ed, are you asking me a question? Oh, whatever it is. and in our ultimate top 10, oh yes, we've got top 10 for you, the top 10 greatest college basketball players. So you got to stay tuned for that. Ed, were you asking me something?
No, I was. I never heard. I hadn't heard that Putin could possibly have cancer.
Yeah, Vladimir Putin may have cancer. Oh. Now we're going to examine whether that's true.
So I was going to say, you know, that he's old school. You know, he's the old school Kremlin, and I remember when
KGB.
I remember
old school KGB.
Brezhnev only had a cold for about 6 months.
Yes, he did.
He was dead for five of them.
He was.
Before they let it out.
Well, it's one of those things in Russia, you don't die all at once.
No.
Okay, let's be honest about it. You don't die all at
once.
Well,
they kind of weekended Bernie you for a few months and pass you around the table.
You ever see the movie El Cid with Charlton Heston?
No.
El Cid gets killed, but he's so important to the cause of victory that they actually prop him up on a horse tie him to the saddle, and he leads the charge. And everybody still, you know, all his troops still think he's alive, and they win the battle.
Yeah, Weekend at Bernie's was kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Kids propped him up, and he's water skiing and all that stuff.
Oh, God. So we got a heck of a show. I can't wait to talk with Jessica Malugan. And we will examine in just a moment this whole thing with Vladimir Putin. I do want to start out, however, with how bleak it looks for the Democrats, how really bleak it looks in November for the Democrats. And it seems like they don't seem to care. If you look at what they are doing or not doing, do they really seem to care? They seem to know how bad things are and how bad they are going to be in November in the voting. But do they really seem to want to change any of what they are doing? Do they even know? Do they understand? Some of them have had the gall
to say that it's about their messaging not being understood and not being delivered correct. Are you kidding me? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So do they not understand? They must understand. It's not the message. It's not the message. Anyway, a new poll shows Republicans with an edge leading up to this year's midterm elections, including among groups more traditionally aligned with the Democratic Party. Did you know that 52% of Hispanics say they will go Republican? 52%! What's all this border stuff? What is going on with the border and them letting all of these, they call them undocumented immigrants, into the country? Is it not working? When this poll says 52% of Latino voters say they will choose a Republican, compared to only 39% of Hispanics who said Democrat. Now, that's an NPR Marist poll. That's not a conservative group that did the polling. Democrats also trail among people under 45. Voters under 45 are going to go Republican. 50% say they choose a Republican, 40% Democrat. Now, it's usually the younger people that go Democrat, aren't they?
Mm.
That's kind of surprising. That's kind of surprising.
I think the problem with the border thing is the ones that are coming across and they're putting on flights to other states, and what they're doing is, along with their free cell phone and pocket change, they need to give them their Democratic voting card.
Maybe that's it. They're not passing
out. That'll sway the numbers.
They're not
the other
passing
direction.
Out voter cards to these illegals.
I mean, they don't speak any English, but they can say Democrat.
Yeah.
That's it.
You know, the last thing I would do if I crossed the border from Mexico, the last thing I would do is go around looking for a voting booth, if you want to know the truth. I'd have other priorities. Anyway, they've also lost 10% of the black vote. They still carry more blacks voting Democrat than voting Republican, but they're losing every single group. The independents are swinging way over towards Republicans. So we'll see what happens, but it doesn't look good for them. In fact, it looks downright scary. It looks downright scary. Now, Vladimir Putin. Now, this is The Sun, all right? This is an English or London newspaper. It says Vladimir Putin is set to undergo an operation for cancer and will hand over power to his hardline spy chief, a Kremlin insider has reportedly claimed. His health has been a source of considerable speculation amid reports that he is battling both abdominal cancer and Parkinson's disease. Now, there's somebody inside the Kremlin that is claiming that this is what is going on. Of course, he does not want to be named. It says here that it has been reported that Putin, who, by the way, is 69, could soon vanish as he goes under the knife, just maybe like Brezhnev, you know, with power transferred to a person by the name of Nikolai Patrushev. Patrushev is 70, key architect of the Ukraine war strategy, and the man who convinced Putin that Kyiv was awash with neo-Nazis. I don't think Putin had to be convinced.
No.
I'm not sure he even...
The problem with getting sometimes a mad dictator out is you never know who's behind him. It could be even worse.
Exactly right.
You know?
Exactly. I mean, think about it. The people around Putin, who do you think they're going to be nice people to?
Well, the whole wicked,
are you kidding?
The whole wicked witch of the East thing, you know.
We're going to find an altar boy succeeding Putin? I don't think so.
Especially when he's 70 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got the same schooling.
Set in his ways, right?
Yeah, same schooling as Putin is.
Exactly. All right, well, let us take a break. And when we come back, Jessica Malugin is going to be with us. We're going to talk about Twitter and Elon Musk.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday. Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us. So, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas was making the round. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. But this guy is charged with the responsibility of telling us how great things are at the border. And now he's announced this disinformation governance board. Disinformation governance board. How coincidental is it that this thing comes out, this thing comes announced after Elon Musk purchases Twitter? Do you think there is any connection? Well, we're delighted to have back Jessica Malugin, who's director of the Center for Technology and Innovation at the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute. And I'm going to ask her that. Jessica, here, finally, Elon Musk purchases Twitter, and they've got this disinformation governance board coming out. Do you think there's any connection to this?
I think that my only skepticism that there's connection is I'm not sure that this administration would be competent enough to get something together that quickly.
You know, you're right. yeah.
That's really my instinct, is to say I don't know that they would be able to really make that happen. But it certainly speaks to, like, this panic that's happened on the left about Elon buying Twitter, which is just the hypocrisy of it is palpable, and of course it's unfounded, as is the panic when the roles were reversed. You know, this is Twitter is not all free speech. Twitter is Twitter, and I'm all for new rules and different rules on these different platforms, and people can sort themselves into the set of rules that they like. You know, that's sort of the marketplace of speech right now.
Mm-hmm. So even though there was a perception that Twitter was somewhat biased, it was a private company, correct? So if they choose cover up some of the things that were being said and not allow them to go on to Twitter, was that their right to do so? I mean, were they violating any rules or laws?
Listen, they were not in violation of anything constitutional or any law that's been added to the original idea here, that it is Congress, it is the U.S. government that is not allowed to infringe on our speech. That's
correct.
A very different matter than forcing a private platform to carry our speech, right? I don't have the right to come to your house and throw a political rally in your living room against your will. And for the same reason, like it or not, and I certainly understand the frustration of many people with what these content moderation decisions have been in practice, I'm not defending those decisions, but I am defending their right to make those decisions.
Right, exactly. Private company, you can kind of, you know, set your own rules. So Elon Musk comes along, and the whole liberal universe seems to be up in arms about the fact that he has purchased Twitter. One of the things that we've heard is that he might open up the, I guess they call it the algorithm table, how they came up with supposedly, you know,
censorship or non-censorship of whatever was coming across. And that seems to scare a lot of people as well. But overall, he claims that he's going to be allowing, you know, both sides of the aisle, as it were, to say what they feel.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. You're exactly right. We don't have a lot of specifics about what he's going to do, but it would, from his comments in the past and around this purchase, it seems like he would like to just sort of open the valve on speech across the board on the platform, which I think would have a lot of benefit and a lot of positive things. There'll also be challenges that come along with that. People think that the sort of Wild West approach is a good one, and it is a good one when we're talking about the government not stopping us from speaking. But when you're talking about kind of curating your gathering space, this platform, there's probably a lot of things that Republicans and Democrats don't want to necessarily see that are perfectly legal, right? And that goes to sort of the advertising question here, too. If I'm, you know, Mercedes-Benz North America, I don't want to pay for my ad to pop up next to a beheading that someone has posted on Twitter. Now, is a video of a beheading perfectly legal? Yes, it happened. It's true. There's no problem there. But is that what you want to see when you go on the platform? I mean, these are questions that I think are best answered in the marketplace, right? And Elon Musk is a smart guy. Hopefully he can make this platform profitable. That would be the first goal, which it hasn't always been. And he's going to have to find where that line is, right? But I think you're right. He definitely is leaning towards more speech on the platform from everyone's stripe.
Yeah, so far that's what it seems. So how has Twitter done on the stock markets, Jessica? Have you been following that? Has it appreciated or has it gone down? Do you know?
I haven't looked at it today, but it's Twitter's kind of always been a little bit of a roller coaster, and it's never been able to monetize the way that you see, like, really much bigger platforms like YouTube and Facebook do, right? Like, when you talk about how many people use Twitter and the money it brings in, it's not always profitable, and it's really a fraction of the number of users that those other big sites can claim. It's always been a little bit of a niche player, and we're going to, you know, one of the signals Elon is going to get about is this working or not is, can he grow the user base? Can he increase revenue, maybe through advertising, but maybe through charging a subscription or charging for other services? We'll see. All of that's open to him. But that stock market number is going to be one of the price signals to him that says he's on the right track or he needs to make adjustments.
Right. We're talking with Jessica Malugin. She is the director of the Center for Technology and Innovation at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And we're talking about the takeover, the purchase of Twitter by Elon Musk, perhaps the most interesting man currently in the world. Jessica, Donald Trump has said, and remember, Donald Trump, it seemed like every day that he was president, he would get on Twitter and say something. And it would almost seem like he was intentionally trying to be controversial and keep a topic going. And away everybody would go and the press would have a field day. But Donald Trump claims that he's not going to come back to Twitter. I don't know if I would make book on that one, but why do you think he would say something like that now that a guy like Elon Musk has taken over Twitter?
It was really interesting that he right out of the gate, like, he really quickly responded to, you know, the question of, so if Elon lets you back on, you know, what would you do? And listen, he has associated himself with his own social media network, the Truth Social app, and so I'm sure he has some loyalty to trying to get that off the ground. And also, you know, he doesn't know any better what Elon Musk is going to do or not do than the rest of us. If we knew that, we would be investing in all sorts of things if we could see the future like that. But he kind of has to cover himself a little bit. I think the president's being cautious about what he's going to do. But also, you know, he certainly has the right to change his mind. So,
indeed.
We'll see if he gets invited back on, if he can really resist.
Exactly. I think the temptation for Donald Trump, unless his other new vehicle is, you know, really takes off. Getting back to Mayorkas and this new disinformation board. This reeks of, you know, when the government is now going to tell you what is true and what is not true. This harkens, those people old enough, this harkens back to Nazi Germany and to other communist-like countries that decide what you can print and not print. Remember, yep. Pravda and Russia and everything else?
Yes, Pravda, yep. And it's still happening, by the way. I mean, we don't have to think about that as something we've moved past entirely, right? China state-owned media, Russia state-owned media. This is still a problem, and it really highlights that the real threat to speech in the U.S. is government control of speech. If Twitter kicks you off, you have lots of other options to make your voice heard. Maybe it's not the one you wanted, but it's true. Twitter can't come and take your property and put you in jail. But governments can, and that is a real threat to free speech. So when you see ideas like this from Homeland Security, I think all the alarm bells have to go off. And even if we learn later, after the world's worst rollout, talk about just provoking half of America, just handled so poorly, if this is not as bad as we think or more narrow or whatever, that's fine. We'll see how that rolls out when we get details. But in general, the idea of government being in charge of telling you what's true or not, you know, if that's what American citizens need, then why in the world do we believe that American citizens have the right to self-governance?
Yeah.
We've got a real fundamental problem with democracy and republics. If we think people are too stupid to sort through information, why in the world are we letting them elect their own leaders? I mean, it's ludicrous. You have to trust that the individual is the ultimate arbiter of what is true for that individual.
You know, on the other side of this, for the government to come out and say that they want to create this thing, which to me is just so scary, I think it's actually entrenching and maybe in its own strange way bringing back the patriotic individual freedom, etc., of a free market. In other words, people are have been responding to this very, very negatively. I haven't heard anybody really, other than, you know, the Biden administration, I guess, and a few Democrats rally around this whole concept. I mean, could they do anything dumber than bringing that up right now with all the other problems they've got going on? God.
Yeah, I mean, you almost have to hope in a way that it's not something even they're taking seriously and it's really just meant to be a distraction, because it's such a bad idea and the rollout was terrible. And it is a great comfort to me that everyone is so upset about it, because it's a terrible idea. You know, this is so un-American. But listen, I'm sure it's a lot easier to distract everyone with that than it is to deal with inflation and a war going on the other side of the world and, still a virus situation that seems confusing and nonsensical to a lot of America. So instead of dealing with the real stuff, my best hope is that this is not something that they're serious about, because it's such a terrible idea.
Yeah, it really is. Jessica, I guess we can only hope that Elon Musk will allow as much, I guess, freedom on Twitter as is possible, allowing both sides, not just conservatives, of course, both sides to be able to get on there and say what they feel. I guess we can only hope for that.
I love that someone's putting their money where their mouth is. He's going to get in there and shake it up. If it makes it better, that's great. We can all learn from that. And if he blows it, he's blowing his money, not my taxpayer money. So
exactly.
Learn from that, too.
You are so right. Jessica Malugin, Competitive Enterprise Institute. Thank you so much, Jessica. We'll look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thank you so much. It's always so much fun to be with you.
Indeed. Thank you, Jessica. All right. There we go. Very, very interesting. Let us take our break. When we come back, the Republican governor of Arkansas, Asa Hutchinson is his name, he's gone after Ron DeSantis, our Florida governor, for going after Disney. Why? We're going to take a look at that. We're going to talk with the master barber himself, Andrew Ceraci. What's going on?
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hey, Tan Talk listeners, get your calendars out because Senior Voice America is going to an every morning format from 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. Your hosts Tim Bryce and Berkeley Badger shall have even more time to discuss politics, religion, finance, and health. So set your dials, you early bird seniors, and join the call-in party every morning, 8 to 10 a.m. on your Tan Talk radio network. SBA, improving your day.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on FreedomWorks for a Monday and delighted to have both of the Ceresi brothers with us, Angelo and Andrew. And I debated, Andrew, whether or not to talk about this, but I find it very interesting, and I wanted to get your thought on it, as well as Angelo's. There seems to be a little bit of an issue going on right now between Ron DeSantis, our Florida governor, and Asa Hutchinson, who is the governor of Arkansas. Amid an ongoing feud between Disney and DeSantis, a fellow Republican governor, Asa Hutchinson, has weighed in criticizing DeSantis for what he viewed as a punitive approach to business. Hutchinson said, first of all, Disney has handled this very poorly. He criticized how Disney took a stance on that parental rights legislation in Florida, dubbed by some as the Don't Say Gay Bill. But he said, secondly, the law that was passed is common sense, that in those grades, those lower grades, you don't teach sexual orientation. And that should not be covered at that age, he said. Then he said, but I don't believe that government should be punitive against private businesses because we disagree with them. He said that is not the right approach either. Now, we know that DeSantis has decided to take away that special authority that Walt Disney World had with ownership of property there, and they were getting a tax deal. So I guess my question would be, do you think that Asa Hutchinson is onto something here?
Paul, I don't think so. You know, first of all, what is it, 40, 50 years ago when Disney opened up 45 years ago, they were given that agreement so they would move here. You know, 40 years ago, Florida was nothing. I remember being here. There was nothing but open land. Nobody would even move here. So they gave that benefit to Disney. They built here and they started building around it. But, you know, 50 years later, they're the only amusement park that doesn't pay any taxes on their property. Universal does, SeaWorld does, Legoland does. So why should Disney be special?
Yeah, they do get a tax break. I'm not sure that they don't pay some taxes, but you're right. And they've got those properties and towns that they own and run. They have their own, you know, municipality going on. It's kind of interesting how they got away with it. But let's be honest, and I want Angelo to comment on this too. Governor DeSantis decided to pull the rug out from under Disney's governance because of their stance on this bill that was passed, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
So, do you feel, let me ask Angelo. Angelo, do you think that DeSantis should have just bit his lip and not gone after Disney at this moment? What do you think?
No. That's his opinion, that he feels he's doing the best for the state of Florida. And the governor of Arkansas, I don't know, maybe he wants to make a, is he running against, what's his name's daughter there?
You know, that's a good question. I don't see whether or not he is up for election. Now, DeSantis is.
Right. DeSantis is up for election. and he knows that this is a hot topic, and it's probably righteous that what he is doing. You know, he's standing up for what, you know.
Yeah, but the question is whether or not he should have gone after Disney by taking away their tax exemption.
Well, that's probably one of the only tools that he has.
Well, why do anything? Why not just say, okay, you know, Disney doesn't like what we are doing. That's too bad. We're going ahead with it, blah, blah, blah. And they just not go after Disney.
Yeah. I don't know. I think he's within his rights to do what he did.
Okay.
Well, let me ask you a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Andrew. Yeah.
Okay. Would a corporation do anything to the state of Florida to get away with whatever they want to get away with? Yes.
I guess in general, they will, let's say, if you mean avoid paying taxes, they will do whatever they can get away with legally.
Yes. A corporation will do anything they can to make their profits for their shareholders, period.
Okay.
So here was Disney coming along, opening up their mouth when they should have kept their mouth shut.
Agreed.
Okay?
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. And they didn't. So you know what? They're paying the price, and they should. I was reading an article yesterday where Disney has had over 500,000 cancellations throughout the summer of this year.
Amazing.
Okay.
That many people respond.
What does that tell you the people are thinking?
I think most people with kids tend to be agreeable to what Ron DeSantis did with that bill. That's what I think.
The question, he should have punished him. He was in every right, take away your tax.
But don't you think the free market would punish Disney without...
No. No.
But you just said that they're taking...
Even better. Paul, that's even more. We got this plus the free market. You use whatever you can.
Okay.
Come on.
But you see, I think that's such a bad precedent. And I love DeSantis. I think he's the best governor we've had in a long time. But it kind of sets a bad precedent. If a company, you know, decides to get political like Disney did... Why make it worse by going, oh, you know, you don't like what I did. Oh, let's see. I can find something here to really hurt you.
They would just keep talking, Paul. They would keep saying what they're doing, trying to influence.
But the point is that the people in the free market would go, I don't like what Disney's saying.
Well, like I said, that's good. That's good, too, on top of what he did.
Okay.
I would use everything that I can, people, whatever I had in my authority, to nail them.
All right. What do you think, Angelo?
Well, you know, I think Ron DeSantis, Governor DeSantis, is standing up for the American people, not just in Florida, but for all America, because, you know, the Republican Party, they stand by the family. And Disney is going against the family unit in the United States. This is what... is the backbone of the United States of America is the family itself. And by doing what they're doing, they're trying to break apart the family.
Yeah.
And this is what keeps America strong. And Ron DeSantis has every right, as an American citizen, not just as the governor, but as an American citizen, to say, hey, you got to stop this thing. This is like a cancer in America, what they're doing right now. And, you know, I feel that as the governor, he's within his rights to do what he's doing.
Okay. I was reading a very interesting article over the weekend about Walt Disney himself. He tried to remain apolitical. He did not want Disneyland at that time, or the Walt Disney, whatever you want to call it, the whole concept, to become, you know... seen as political. He tried to stay out of it. Now, the more you know about Disney, the more you realize that he was probably more Republican and conservative. But he didn't want it to interfere with his creations and his cartoons and all of the movies and all the things that he was doing. And I think he was on the right track. And here's Disney today. They've lost their way. We know that. They've lost their way. They're only going to hurt themselves by taking a position because half the people are going to disagree with them.
More than half the people in the United States do disagree with them.
Yeah.
And the same thing, like President Biden wants to do away with these student loans, you know, forgive a lot of these student loans only because it's being political. the midterm election
that's right.
coming up, and they want their votes.
Of course.
Disney wants the business of these people. They think that this is the majority of the way that the country is going.
You think that, Angela, you think that they thought that what DeSantis did was wrong, most of the people? Do you, is that what you think?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Most of the people feel what Ron DeSantis
yes.
did. They're 100% behind him.
Yeah.
Those that are behind the governor.
Right.
What now, I'm saying is that Disney thinks that the majority of the country is going the other way, and it's not.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. Okay,
yeah,
so they've made a big mistake.
Well,
go ahead, Andrew.
I would bet you that SeaWorld and Adventure Island, all of them are pretty happy about it. Legoland.
Yeah, I think you may be right.
They're pretty happy.
Although
more people are going to these other places, and you know what? Now Disney can start paying their taxes.
But remember,
they're all playing on an equal field.
Yeah, I'm not sure about how much they're excited, because remember, when people come down to go to Disney World, a lot of those people will also go to SeaWorld and some of the other things, and they may be losing some of those people. But I want to go off and talk a little bit about this other topic that you brought up, Angelo, and that is the student loans. And the fact that all of a sudden, and Biden, by the way, has done a complete 180 on this, right? If you go back and listen to him, he was against having the government pay student loans. Now he says, okay, maybe a portion of the student loans or whatever. But can the Democrats not realize how many people they alienate? The people that pay mortgages, the people that did pay their student loans, the people that are paying off their credit card loans, and these people, and they think that people are going to be excited when a bunch of students don't have to pay off their, are they crazy? Do they not understand how they're alienating people?
Go ahead, Andrew. If somebody went to trade school, okay, became a carpenter, mechanic, or whatever, and that's what they did, and they played off their BOCES loan or whatever they paid, why should that carpenter have to pay somebody that wanted a college education to loan off?
Correct. Go ahead, Angelo.
I mean, you know, it's like I paid my mortgage off. It was 30 years, right? I had to pay my car loans. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
yes, I do.
I resent the fact that I think the Democrats have lost touch. All they're interested, they're getting so desperate because they know that they're going to be wiped out come this November, which can't come soon enough. that they're trying to buy their votes. They're trying to influence an election.
Yeah, but it's backfiring. That's what I mean. It's blowing up in their face. Whatever they're doing, it's not working. It's not working. Even the, I don't know if you gentlemen heard a little earlier in the show, we were looking at this Marist poll. Now, more Hispanics say they will vote Republican than Democrat. This is the first time. And yet we've got this open border situation. The Democrats thought that this is going to be great. This is going to make Hispanics, more sympathetic to the Democrats. It's not working.
No, the reason it's not working, Paul, is because the other Latinos that came to this country had to go through everything
exactly.
to become a citizen. And they feel, why should they come in here? I had to go through all this. Who they think they are?
Yeah, I think they resent the fact that these people are crossing the border like this.
They're giving them money. They're giving them credit cards. They're giving them clothes. These people got nothing when they came here, just like my ancestors.
Exactly.
The Democrats are destroying the moral fiber of this country. They're trying to destroy the family. They're dividing this country. They want us to be at each other's throats. This is how they've been trying to take over. And this disinformation thing.
Yes.
My God. I mean, this is going to be like the old TASS news agency.
Exactly. Yeah, we were talking about that. It's the scariest thing to say.
It's scary, and the American people had better wake up. I mean,
I think they have. See, this is what I also think. I think that this has awakened the sleeping bear, or in our case, the sleeping eagle.
That's right. The American patriot. The Minuteman again. You
yeah.
know? I mean, they're destroying the fabric of this country every day.
But I think people are waking up to it. I think this is the thing. I think the pendulum is going to go the other way.
January 6th committee they got, what a farce.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep going after Donald Trump. He's a private citizen. That Georgia is going about it now with impaneling a grand jury and New York Attorney General Letitia James going after Trump. Unbelievable.
Well, you know that they've actually dropped some of those charges. All of a sudden, they weren't going anywhere. Did you see that?
Right, but, I mean, you got this January 6th panel that the media is bringing up.
You know, Paul...
That's beating a dead horse, by the way. Go ahead,
Paul, they got proof now that Obama is the one pushing Biden. He gave a speech a couple weeks ago stating that the news media censorship is not enough. We need to do more. The government needs to get involved. And boom... You're right. Disinformation board.
No, you're right.
Who's running this country? It's Mr. Obama.
Yeah, I've read that Obama is pulling the strings on this disinformation board and that he's totally on board with it. Yeah, but it's blowing up in their face. It's blowing up in their face. I think the Democrats couldn't have plotted a worse way for themselves, the way things are going right now. Anyway.
In 1,000.
I tell you, they are.
And that comes soon enough.
You are right, Angelo. Guys, thank you so very much, both of you, for being on this morning. And, of course, Andrew, looking forward to Wednesday with you.
You got
Have
it, buddy.
Have a good day, gentlemen.
All right, guys.
Day.
Thank you. All right. The Brothers Ceresi, we're going to take our break. When we come back, we're going to do a lot of things about the top 10 with college basketball, and also going to take a look at how many hours of sleep is the perfect number of hours to stay healthy.
When that love light shines all around us.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Guys, a well-groomed appearance is the first thing people will notice about you after a stop at the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin is that very place, and they've specialized in the art of men's haircutting for decades. They're located in the Overcash Plaza, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Andrew's Master Barbershop, open Tuesday through Saturday. Just call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Marshall.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. And by the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network. And so glad you can join us. But if you are not able to make every show because you want to listen to every show, thanks to Big Ed, you can listen to every show at your leisure because he puts all our shows on podcast, and you just have to go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the top button up there that says podcast, and away you go. So, Ed, I don't know if you had any chance to see some outtakes, but, you know, the White House Correspondents' Dinner took place over the weekend, and they had a comedian, black comedian by the name of Trevor Noah. He did go after Biden quite a bit, by the way. For instance, while Biden was sitting there, he said to Biden, ever since you came into office, things are already looking up. Gas is up, rent is up, food is up. Let's see, what else did he say there? Even Biden got up and poked fun at himself. He said, I'm talking to a group that's got an even lower approval rating than I do, which is true. I think that the media has a single-digit approval rating, believe it or not. They are like 8 or 9%. Given the president's approval, here is some people that that responded. They actually have a rapid response director in the Republican National Committee. So I guess as soon as something like this happens, he's got to get out there. So he said this: given the president's approval at 33%, and with everything going wrong from inflation to crime to the border to education to the botched withdrawal from Afghanistan, if Trevor Noah decided to avoid all of that in an effort to avoid offending those in the room, he would have had to surrender his comedian card. So there you go. Now, how many hours of sleep, Ed, if you don't mind me asking you, approximately, how many hours of sleep do you get per night?
If it depends on the night. I mean...
Right. Watching something on TV that you might like?
6 hours, but I take a nap during the day once in a while.
Okay. Well, how much sleep is the perfect amount? Apparently, 7 hours of sleep is the Goldilocks amount for people that are middle-aged and upwards, according to a new study out of University of Cambridge in England. In the study, it examined data from nearly 500,000 British and Chinese people from 38 to 73. They were asked about their sleeping patterns, their mental health, and their well-being. They also took part in a series of cognitive tests. And somehow, if you get 7 hours of sleep, it's just about exactly right. If you get lack of sleep, will hamper your brain's ability to rid itself of toxins. Let's see, about getting too much sleep. Don't see what happens there. But anyway, obviously having the correct amount of sleep, good for your mental health, important in all stages of life, but particularly as you get older. So that's it. Anyway, apparently 7 is the magic number.
Mm.
All right. Before we get to our top 10, and we have a good one, sports one, I want to talk about another sport, and that is hockey, because our beloved Tampa Bay Lightning travel to Toronto.
Mm.
They will not be a higher seed. Toronto is the higher seed in a best of 7 in the first round of the NHL play. What do you think? Do you think that...
Don't know which team's going to show up, you know?
Yeah.
Don't know.
Yeah, that's a good...
Don't really know. I mean, they've really kind of...
They've gone back and forth, haven't
they? Yeah, they slide and then they get hot and they slide and they get hot, so...
Do you think the key is their goalie Vasilevskiy?
Well, people are trying to say maybe he's tired and whatever. I don't know about that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. How many years can you have, you know, phenomenal years? I mean, how many all-star years can you have in a row? Right now, you've got to remember they're coming off 2 cups.
That's right.
In a row.
They're
seeking
their 3rd cup. And the last time anybody came close to that were the New York Islanders, who you know well. I think they won it 4 in a row.
Yeah. So tonight at 7 o'clock, I believe 7 or 7:30, I think.
7:30.
Puck drop.
It'll be 7:30. Should be good. Best of 7. Very interesting. I mean, we've got other teams that are good in the, not just, I mean, Toronto's a little bit ahead of them. So is, I believe, Florida, the Florida team, and Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
All of them.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be an easy road for the for the Lightning.
And then the Bucks had their draft this weekend.
Tell us about that. Did they do
not
well
much
or
to
not?
Tell. It was kind of a, of a neutral thing, you know.
Really?
Yeah. Just no. There wasn't any splash names. They picked up some offensive linemen, a defensive lineman.
Now, didn't they
running need, back?
Don't they need somebody to replace the errant wide receiver that left the team?
No, he wasn't a major part. I mean, they can slide somebody into that slot.
Okay.
You know, they're ready for that. And then, of course, the Rays are looking... this is not going to be a good year.
You think? It's kind of early to say that.
Though. I know it's early, but from what I'm seeing... Usually when the Rays come out and they replace these players with... And you're like, who the heck are these guys? And you're like, what are they doing? And then all of a sudden, they're like, you're like, wow.
Yeah.
But this year, it's like, what happened? You know,
the new players aren't doing
what happened to, you know, you got rid of this guy for this guy, and this guy couldn't hit a ball if you hit him, for crying out loud.
Well, it's early. That's all I got to say about that, Ed. We'll see what happens. All right, my friend. Let's go to another sport. It's not your favorite sport. I know it's not. But let's see if you know who is number one. Okay, these are the top 10 greatest college basketball players. And this comes from New Arena that made this determination. Let's see who they are. Number 10. Wilt Chamberlain. Remember him?
Sure.
He played for Kansas University, 1957 to 58, just two seasons. He led them to the 57 NCAA championship. But in the championship game, North Carolina won in triple overtime.
The guy said he slept with over 10,000 women, isn't
it? He was a little nutty. Number 9. Bill Bradley. Now, you may not know Bill Bradley, but he not only he went to Princeton from 63 to 65. He played for Princeton. He helped them reach the Final Four. He also was a senator and a presidential candidate. Mm. So he went into politics. Number 8. The Birdman, Larry Bird. Remember him? Indiana State, 1977 to 79. Many people felt that national championship game against Magic Johnson was really something to watch. Very highly rated. Number 7, Christian Laettner. He played for Duke, 89 to 92. And he made the shot heard around the world in a national championship game.
He was a bust in the pros, wasn't he?
Yeah, he didn't do well. He wasn't much in the pros. That's true. Number 6. Elvin Hayes, Houston, 1966 to 68. He averaged 31 points for the Cougars. The game of the century was played against the Lew Alcindor UCLA team, a game that Houston won 71 to 69. All right, number 5, Bill Walton. Remember him?
Yep.
UCLA, 1972 to 74. Thanks to Walton, the Bruins went undefeated during his first two seasons. Pretty good. Number 4. You remember, or did you ever hear of Bill Russell?
Yeah, sure.
Bill Celtics. Russell. Yes, indeed. Great Celtics player, but he played for San Francisco University, 1954 to 56. He averaged just over 20 points in a time when 20 points was a lot, but he also averaged over 20 rebounds. That's where he was really great on defense, Bill Russell. Number 3. Pete Maravich.
Pistol Pete.
Yes, exactly. Pistol Pete Maravich, 1968 to 1970. Nobody in the history of Division I college basketball has scored more points than Pistol Pete. He scored 3,667 points. Number 2. The Big O, Oscar Robertson. He played for Cincinnati, 1958 to 1960. They say here there might not ever have been a more complete player in college than the Big O. He averaged 34 points, 15 rebounds, and more than 4 assists per game. That was amazing. Okay, Ed, I know you're not big on basketball.
No.
Do you have any idea who's number one?
Shot in the dark, I'll go with Michael Jordan. Why not?
Okay.
Probably not.
I think that's a good guess. But it's not right.
No.
Lew Alcindor. UCLA, 1967 to 1969. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He won 3 national titles, 3-time first-team All-American, inaugural winner of the Naismith Player of the Year Award, considered by many to be the most dominating college player ever. So there you go. All right. Thanks so much for listening. We will be back on Wednesday. In the meantime, remember, freedom works. Hiding, then go stealing through the moonlit nights with your lover.